Good evening, listeners. I'm Gordon Allen. Welcome, Mal. How are you?
Very well, and welcome all listeners.
Listeners and all, he's looking very resplendent in his St. George. It's not a St. George Illawarra. It is a St. George Illawarra shirt.
Yes,
it wearing
is.
It after the game of touch they won last weekend against the Titans.
Winners are grinners. And I'm smiling.
You're smiling.
And
that
so are you, Gordon. You're smiling too.
Oh, always smiling.
Yeah.
Well, I'm truly. Well, we don't have to talk to Niff Nuff tonight either.
Yeah,
so that's
hooray.
Even better. But where's Patchy? Where's Cray?
Oh, they're on.
You know,
on they're in a meeting.
Maternity leave.
No.
Some sort of leave.
Yeah, they're out of here.
Maternity leave.
Paternity leave.
On with the show now. Let's go.
Of course, Steve Buchanan. And we're happy he'll be joining us later on the phone. He's recovering from operation as well.
Jeepers.
But listeners, big program, as usual. And we're going to start just after 10 past 6 tonight. We're going to talk to Dave Shillington. Dave, of course, former NRL player, representative player as well. And he's the State of Mind Project Officer. So we're going to talk about the NRL State of Mind program. Absolute incredible statistics, Mal, when you say here that one in five Australians aged 16 to 85 experience a mental illness in any year. And the 25 to 24-year-olds, suicide is a leading cause of death in Australians in that age group.
Something they haven't related to with rugby league for a long time, but they're now seeing the light.
Exactly.
And so David's the kind of guy that's going to help them all along, isn't
exactly
he?
Exactly right.
Well,
the
that's good news.
State of Mind Project.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with David just after 10 past 6. Of course, we'll be reviewing around 21 all the local rugby league news, and then our NRL expert and former Super League boss and first-grade referee.
Mr. Thursday,
Greg Macca-McCallum. We'll have a chat about the Hall of Fame awards from last night as well.
Mm.
And we'll ask Macca the stripping rule. And, of course, there's been a lot of controversy dragged into the press the last couple of days about wrestling. It's back in the news.
Wrestling, and the large point is the racism's coming.
Well and truly.
Not
so,
nice.
All of that and more here on The Grapple tonight, listeners. But I thought we probably should acknowledge the passing of Australian football Hall of Fame legend Graham Polly Farmer, aged 84. I think it's important we do acknowledge Graham Farmer. The West Australian forged a spectacular career in the WAFL, the West Australian Football League, and then had a successful stint with Geelong between 62 and 67. So,
yeah, what a wonderful guy, well remembered in Victoria, across all codes of any sport.
He was
just brilliant.
One of the greatest ruckmen of all time. He was named in the AFL Team of the Century in 1996 and as captain of the Indigenous Team of the Century in 2005.
Yeah.
So he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease 24 years ago. So our thoughts and sympathies with the family of Graham Polly Farmer, and you know, a sad loss there for the game and for the sport.
Rest in peace.
Yep. Well, NRL last weekend, Mal, retro round, disallowed try in the Cowboys games. Josh Maguire, sin binning. Gee, the sin bin timekeepers earned their money last weekend.
They got their eye on Josh Maguire.
Well, he's got it, certainly have. That's a good one. Have you got that, Shane? Got it? Yeah, leave that alone. Yes, well done, Mal. Well, the Broncos, 18-14 against the North Queensland Cowboys, got out of jail. And I suppose that disallowed try. But anyway, the Warriors, well, they survived a late comeback against the Manly Seagulls. They picked up 2 points, 24-16 win on Friday night. And, gee, it certainly wasn't the Warriors team that got belted the week before by Canberra. But you just don't know which team's going to turn up. Reuben Garlick, 2 tries for Manly. So a good effort there.
He's on fire, the young fella.
The young fella is on fire. Well, Nathan Cleary had a great game. Penrith, 26-20. That was an upset win over Cronulla, I suppose.
They were very disappointing, the Sharks, weren't they?
They certainly were, but they got away to a 14-0 lead and went on from there. Well, the Dragons, as we said, 40, defeated the Titans 28. They said game of touch.
Sensational.
But Gareth Widdop had a good game, and James Graham played his 400th first-grade appearance. That was fantastic.
He didn't know his mum and dad was in the crowd.
That was a wonderful effort there by James Graham. Well, listeners, we'll come back to the dissection of Round 21 later in the program. But joining us live online now is the NRL's State of Mind Project Officer, Dave Shillington. Good evening, Dave.
G'day, guys.
Hi, Dave.
Very good, thanks.
Mal Lucas with me there, Dave. And look, it's wonderful for you to join us. And before we talk about the program, I just mentioned three or four statistics whereby we're saying one in five Australians aged 16 to 85 experience a mental illness in any one year. 45% of Australians will experience a mental illness in their lifetime. And that 25 to 44 years old age group is the, I suppose, leading age group for with suicide. And men are at greatest risk of suicide, but least likely to seek help. You're in a very key role now because of what's been identified with, I suppose, the mental health issues involved in professional sport.
Yeah, so, rugby league certainly no different to the rest of the world. And unfortunately, we saw a few tragedies many years ago with young players who were involved with the game. They took their own life, and that was at all different levels of rugby league, from the NRL to under-20s down to the New South Wales and Queensland Cup teams. They've all had their run of really bad incidences, unfortunately, and the NRL thought, let's turn this into something we can turn a positive out of, I guess, or be leaders in this space. And they put together the State of Mind program. And they work with Headspace, Black Dog Institute, Lifeline, and Kids Helpline. And the last couple of years, we've been delivering it all throughout Australia and all the way up to Thursday Island, all the way down to Victoria, across to Perth and Broome and all those areas. And it's been fantastic. There's been some really good positive stories and feedback, and it's nice to be a part of it.
Of course, you've mentioned a key group there that at greater risk, the Indigenous Australians experience an overall rate of suicide more than double that of non-Indigenous Australians, and we do have a large percentage of Indigenous rugby league players.
Yeah, so those stats you mentioned, there are national stats, but as you say, yeah, if you're a male, if you're in a regional area, and if you are Indigenous, those stats are a fair bit worse, unfortunately. And we go around to Northern Territory a lot, actually. I was up there with Preston Campbell and Willie Tonga, and we've been really lucky enough, thanks to some federal funding, to go into Clontarf Academies and talk to the rugby league kids there. Presto and Willie share a lot about their journey, their upbringing, and their identity, and things they do to take care of themselves. And that's been a real pleasure to go with them and partner with them with that. And I know the kids get a whole lot out of it.
Well, that's certainly fantastic, because those partnerships, as you mentioned, Lifeline, Kids Helpline, and so on, are very important. But the one of the key aims of the program is to use the game's reach, profile, clubs, and players to reduce stigma around mental issues, because as we've said, men are most likely not to seek help.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, some of the advocates we have for the program, and I love talking to people about it. We're talking advocates like Michael Morgan, Darius Boyd, Dan Gagai. So these guys play in the State of Origin Arena, which is one of the toughest sort of sporting arenas in Australia and maybe the world. And we hold these guys up at such a high level. They're manly blokes, they're tough blokes, and they're talking about mental health and well-being and struggles they've had. So I really think that flies in the face of the stigma that surrounds mental health, where people say, oh, you're weak or you're soft if you have mental health difficulties. We've got these guys who are the toughest blokes we know, and they're talking about it. So hopefully that goes away to reducing that stigma and encourage others not to feel shame. And if they are struggling, just reach out.
Well, that's certainly fantastic. And I noticed one of your other ambassadors is Joel Thompson. And, of course, Joel spent a lot of time in Ivanhoe area, far west of New South Wales. And, of course, absolute ornament to the game and as tough as they come.
He's great, Joel. He's a real solid earth sort of bloke. He acknowledges the mistakes he's made and the things he's done to sort of rectify that and help manage things moving forward. And he just loves telling his story. He sees what other people get out of it, and they sort of just breathe out when he tells his story. They know they can relax around him. They know there's some commonality there with things they've gone through. And I know I've seen it firsthand when he shares that story. It just makes a lot of difference to young people. So, one of the key messages of the program is just to talk and reach out to people. The more you share with people, the more they'll share with you. So if you're asking someone if they're okay, maybe share something about yourself and some of the things you've been doing, as long as you're comfortable with that, and they'll be more likely to open up to you.
And, of course, the object of the program as well is to connect rugby league communities with the expert partners. So that in itself seems to be coming along okay at the moment, Dave?
Yeah, it's one of the best parts of the program, to be honest, because it's leaving a bit of a legacy where we can't get around to clubs as much as we'd love to. Sometimes you only get a chance to go there once or twice. But by connecting them with local service providers, they can partner with them moving forward. One of the big ones for us has been the relationship with Headspace. Headspace is for young people 5 to 25 to go there and get support. a great service provider, and all our State of Mind clubs now are connected with their local Headspace, and the legacy is in working with them moving forward, knowing they can call Headspace, get them down to training to talk to the kids, or if they see some of the kids struggling, they can redirect them to get support at Headspace. So those partnerships are great. They'll be ongoing and make the program long-lasting.
That's certainly that sustainability. That's going to be absolutely critical, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, well, I think most people acknowledge the world is getting tougher, and I don't want to sound like a doomsday prepper or anything like that, but, you know, the world's getting faster, and, everything's online. There's different pressures where, as a young person, for myself, I used to come home and play cricket in the backyard and do my homework, watch TV and go to bed. So I had that sort of safe zone of being in my house and not worrying about anybody else. But nowadays, kids, they're exposed to things at school, and they come home and they've got that online presence the whole time. They're on the net, they're on social media, they're constantly exposed to the rest of the world. And if they're getting bullying or they're just not enjoying themselves, that's full time now. That's at school, that's at home as well. So it's a really different environment, and we need to keep on top of these things.
So are there any particular symptoms or signs that, you know, that mates or friends or family should be looking for or notice anything different before they can take action, David?
Yeah, the pretty basic things we talk about, to be honest, and sometimes we just need a reminder of those things. And if we see people becoming withdrawn and isolated, we talk about the local footy club, as they usually like coming down there and hanging out with the boys and girls and having a bit of fun, a bit of a laugh, but all of a sudden, because of other things they got going on, they don't enjoy doing that anymore, and they find the banter a little bit irritating, and they seem to get ticked off a bit more easily and don't feel welcome there, so they prefer to spend time by themselves and things like that, and experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and differences in sleep and eating patterns, and there's some easy things we can look out for and not ignore. I mean, people get like that from day to day for sure, but when those symptoms go on for a couple of weeks, you know, we're talking 2 weeks or more, that's when we've got to reach out to people and reach out ourselves as well.
And how can, I suppose, clubs or people, if individuals or whatever, become involved or participate in the NRL State of Mind program, David?
Yeah, so check out your local junior rugby league club or senior rugby league club as well. There's over 200 clubs just in Queensland that we deliver to. So, yeah, all the way up to Thursday Island and towards the border as well. So, if you're in Queensland, contact the junior rugby league club if you're not in contact with them already, and ask about the State of Mind program. Hopefully, we'll see a lot of clubs with their posters up and doing things on social media like we've been working with them to do. So, but please visit the website too, the State of Mind website. It's fantastic. Heaps of information that we talked about today, videos from players, some of our advocates, some healthy tips and those sorts of things. So, yeah, whether you're going pretty good and you just want to go a little bit better, or you are a bit struggling, check it out. Rudy, if you just want to be a better support person, because as you said from all those stats, almost half of Australians will get knocked around some stage in their life. So if it's not you, yourself directly, it'll be someone you're supporting. So jump online and check it all out.
And I suppose we should just finish with one comment. It's not only applicable to males, is it, Dave?
No, it's not. And it's interesting that I think you touched on it earlier. Roughly speaking, male suicides are double what female suicides are, but double the amount of women report mental health difficulties compared to men. I think sometimes that might speak to the point that women, they like to share information more, catch up and go for coffee and have a gas bag and let things out, pour it out, and men are more likely, generally speaking, to bottle it up. But man or woman, any profession, any age, it does not discriminate. So take care of yourselves and your friends and family as well.
Overall, it'd be an awareness factor would be the main issue that's totally got to be put out into the people, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think it's awareness, and that goes to a lot of points of reducing the stigma. I think if you're aware of how prevalent it is, if you're aware of the types of people that does affect, it's not a certain type of person it affects, it is really prevalent. That awareness helps reduce the stigma, but then also the awareness of some of those support services are available, like the Headspaces, like the Black Dogs, in a crisis situation, someone like Lifeline. So the more people talk about it, it just normalises that conversation and stops people thinking, oh man, you know, I'm struggling here, but I can't tell anyone. I got to stick my chest out and power on. So,
Dave Shillington, the NRL State of Mind Project Officer, thank you so much for joining us here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sports. It's a wonderful program, and we'll look forward to seeing some of those results in the future.
Oh, here we go, Mel. We're back on.
We're back on.
Gee, what a great chat with Dave Shillington. What an absolute wonderful program in terms of the mental health issues facing players.
And it's an issue out there that take all the glory away from the football week on week. It's behind the scenes and it happens.
Well, it's not only players, of course, it's officials and so everyone that's involved. The one question, and we'll get to David another time, but you wonder whether the level of expectation on the professional, highly paid footballer, how that must impact on them.
Incredibly. Incredibly hard.
Very, very difficult. But we'll talk about that with David another time. So Dave Shillington, NRL State of Mind Project Officer. All the best in that work you're doing and, 200 clubs already in Queensland. By gee, it's not a small program.
Reach out. Everyone, there's someone there. There exactly is right. Someone there.
Well, round 21, we said the Dragons defeated the Titans 40-28. Game of touch. James Graham, 400th game. And Gareth Widdop, good to see him back in form. And of course, the Newcastle Knights, well, they led 14-8 in front of 20,671 fans at Bankwest Stadium there. But the Eels finished up winning 20-14.
Came on strong.
They certainly did. Pearce and Ponga, they'll need to produce the goods this weekend. We'll talk about that later.
They're on fire early. Now, all of a sudden, it's been doused out.
The wheels have fallen off. Well, 9,633 at ANZ. And I did say to when we spoke to Greg McCallum on Monday, maybe they could have played a doubleheader because the Dogs and the Tigers use Bankwest Stadium as well. So put those with the 20,000, and you've got 30,000 at the one venue. So it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the Dogs, they defeated the Tigers 18-16. And the first 18 minutes of the second half, the Tigers went from an 8-0 lead to an 18-8 behind. A penalty on the fifth against Marshall holding down, another on the fourth, a drop ball by Luke Brooks on the second tackle, and Marshall's pass for an intercept by Mick Meaney, all capped off by injuries to Farah and Mbai. And that was a game, 18-16, being and gone, and the kick after the bell, conversion attempt unsuccessful.
Just one of those three misses would have got them a draw.
Move on, but they should never have been in that position.
True.
Tedesco and Keary, and they put the Roosters to a 22-18 win over the Raiders in Canberra. And, 19,530 fans. That was a good crowd down there.
Good crowd. Cold weather, too.
So Croker was playing his 250th game. But unfortunately, the Roosters, one of the teams to beat in 2019.
They're up there.
They certainly are. Well, the Storm, they got the Rabbits 26-16. And how good is Cameron Munster?
On fire. He was sensational. He looked actually good in red and white jersey.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen at all. And Rabbitohs winger Graham Campbell, a hat-trick. And, Melbourne, they're 3 points clear on the top of the ladder, 36 points.
Yes.
Roosters second on 30, Raiders third on 28, Rabbitohs fourth on 28, Sea Eagles fifth on 26 with the Eels. Then the Panthers 22 and the Broncos in 8th spot on 21 with the Sharks and Tigers on 20 points. Warriors 19, Knights 18, Cowboys 16, Dragons 16, Bulldogs 16 and Titans 10. No one will catch the Storm.
No.
At all.
Won't come near.
That's a formality now. So the minor premiership will be theirs. Just some jockeying for the other positions. And no doubt round 22 this weekend will have an impact on some of those placings.
Well, your Panthers and Broncos in 7th and 8th do not have good for and against.
No. Well, right. And they play each other this weekend.
Correct. I'll be there tomorrow night.
You'll be there tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Excellent. Well, we'll talk about that with Macca, as we'll talk about the Hall of Fame as well later in the program. Well, the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League, Vantage Home Cups Division 1, the semi-finals. That was week 2 last weekend. Stanley River 40 defeated Caboolture 26 and Kiwana 38 defeated Beerwa 22. Now, Beerwa led 22-8 with 33 to go and Kiwana scored 4 tries in 8 minutes and led 32-22. And that game was all over.
Let it go.
I went out to the Stanley River Caboolture game Saturday night at Woodford. Wasn't that cold. I think it was about 2 degrees.
Yeah.
Very pleasant. Pleasant night.
It was above zero. It's okay.
But Caboolture led 14-10 at halftime. at Stanley River. Well, they powered home in the second half and eventually won 40-26.
Too strong.
So the preliminary final this weekend at the Sunshine Coast Stadium on Saturday at 5:30, Caboolture will take on Kawana. And the winner, obviously, will take on Stanley River in the grand final the weekend after on the 24th. Division 2A wins to Maroochydore 36-14 over Caboolture. And Beerwah defeated Coolum 18-16. So the preliminary final this weekend, Coolum will take on Maroochydore with the winner to take on Beerwah in the grand final. In the under-18s, Maroochydore defeated Nambour and Beachmere defeated Kawana. Maroochydore take on Kawana this weekend, the winner to take on Beachmere. And in the Division 2B, Yandina defeated Palmwoods and Beachmere defeated Kilcoy. Beachmere straight to the grand final in the 2Bs. Kilcoy now take on Yandina in the preliminary final. So that's all the preliminary final matches this weekend.
Interesting football coming up.
But last Sunday, wonderful afternoon at the Sunshine Coast Stadium with the women's grand final, the Maudsley Excavation Cup. Women in league round, Maroochydore defeated Gympie 16-12 in extra time. 12-all, extra time. Demi Shijotti was the player of the grand final from Maroochydore. Fantastic rugby league match, end-to-end. And, of course, was complemented by a series of other fixtures there on the day. And we had the under-14 girls, so Kawana, Caloundra, Beerwah, a combined team. They had a 16-all draw with Caboolture. And Stanley River, well, they lost 26-24 to Gympie. And in the final under-14 game, Noosa 30 lost to Nambour Palmwoods 34. And in the two under-16 games, Noosa Nambour 48 defeated Beachmere Zip. And Kawana Caloundra Beerwah 28 defeated Caboolture 24. So some marvellous women's and girls rugby league last weekend at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. Congratulations to Maroochydore, the winners of the Maudsley Excavation Cup women's grand final, 16-12 extra time over Gympie. So it was a great game of rugby league.
Celebrating would still be going on.
Oh,
very good.
There's no doubt about that. And I think the girls know how to party.
Yes.
On the party bus. Well, the ISC, round 23 games to go. The Dolphins, 43. They defeated the Tigers. Zip led 16-0 at halftime. The Devils defeated the Pride 62-14. Devils flyer Herbie Farnworth scored 4 of the Devils' 11 tries and kicked 9 from 11 conversions. He scored 34 of the Devils' 62 points. He had a big afternoon. Blackhawks defeated the Capras. Wynnum defeated Magpies. Tweed defeated the Jets 22-18. The Bears defeated the Hunters 24-6. And the Falcons defeated the Cutters 28-14 in a bruising and physical encounter. It was a very gritty Mackay Cutters outfit looking to keep their finals hopes alive. But the Sunshine Coast, they headed home now. They'll play the Townsville Blackhawks this weekend in what will be one of the matches of the round. They have an unassailable. They're on 38 competition points. They're 6 points clear, same as the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? The Melbourne Storm and their feeder club, both 6 points clear on their competition ladders.
It shows you their strength, it does.
It certainly does. So the ISC ladder, Falcons 38, Wynnum 32, Bears 30, Blackhawks 30, Devils 5th on 26, Seagulls, Tweed 22 points, 7th Tigers 21, and Dolphins 8th on 20 points, and then back to the Jets on 16. 3 games to go, probably won't be much change unless the Dolphins fall by the wayside.
Yeah,
there, Mal.
That's all. Can't see much happening.
So the Bears will take on the Pride, the Dolphins take on the Capras, the Cutters, the Devils, the Jets, the Magpies, the Falcons, as we said, match of the round against the Blackhawks, Tweed take on the Tigers, do the Tigers need to bounce back, and Wynnum will take on the Hunters. So plenty happening in the ISC this weekend. In the Brisbane Rugby League, A grade round 17, Magpies defeated the Tigers, Panthers defeated the Dolphins, and the Diehards defeated Seagulls 36-28. Panthers on top on 43, and Diehard second on 39 in the Brisbane A-grade competition. South East Queensland women's, well, it came to a close with Division 2 and 3 grand finals. They took place at Ormeo's home ground, and in the South East Queensland women's Division 2, Southport Tigers defeated Ormeo 14-0, Bow Desert defeated Logan 26-14 in the Division 3 white, and Redlands defeated Denala 16-0 in the green decider. So all the women's rugby league over and done
with. Well done for the year.
Done for the year. And, of course, in Division 1 the previous week, the West Brisbane Panthers, they broke through to claim their maiden title 20-8 over defending champions Burleigh.
So congratulations for that one.
Congratulations there. So that's all of the women's grand finals completed, Sunshine Coast and South East Queensland, and well done to all of the teams that participated. Well, let's have a look at some NRL and rugby league news, Mal.
Yes.
And
a lot happening.
Well, it's all happening. Well, I suppose, first of all, the Queensland University's team, residents team, they're going to play New South Wales in their annual interstate clash on the 24th of August. They'll travel to Sydney. They'll meet the New South Wales team at Blacktown Juniors Rugby League Ground, coached by two-time University of Rugby League Queensland Premiership coach Scott Barker, with Queensland University of Technology coach Blake Trace to be his assistant. Congratulations to all selected. Let's hope they can bring home the university's trophy there.
Well done to those.
Well, seems to be a bit of unrest up there at the Knights. James Gavay, the Samoan test prop, looking to maybe get out of the club as well.
Wants out as well now. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, fellow prop Herman Sasa set to quit. Mm-hmm. The English clubs, though, are very keen on James Gavay. Very keen on him.
It's funny now how a club all of a sudden early in the year could not get any better. All on fire. Now all of a sudden everybody wants out.
Yes, well, they had those losses to start the season, and since they've had success, I know the last couple of rounds haven't been the best. Jesse Raymond gone, and now James Gavay. Interesting.
Not good for the club.
Not good for the club, Mal. Well, the Rabbits, John Sutton, confirmed his retirement yesterday.
Great ambassador.
What a great player. 34 years old. He's on a one-year contract, which was always expected to be his last, and his retirement will start at the end of the season. So he became South Sydney's first 300-game player last season, and he's on 329 matches and 60 tries across 16 seasons with the club.
Captain them to their last grand final win.
In 2014.
14, yes.
And wonderful ambassador.
Just an all-round nice guy too.
Yep, exactly. So John Sutton, you will be missed. And a great ambassador for the game, well and truly. Yeah. I noticed some photos of Parramatta prop Shane Sean Lane.
Yes.
Yeah, no powder in the room here tonight.
No, not in this room there, is it?
Not in this room, no.
No.
That was part of the Manly's end-of-season celebrations before we joined the Eels.
We might be party animals, but you won't see us on Facebook.
No, they said that there'll be a heavy fine imposed, so we're waiting to see what the NRL Integrity Unit, Men of Integrity, will hand down there.
And doesn't matter that it wasn't this year.
No.
It still counts. They'll look into it.
Yes, they've been doing that. But he's allowed to play this weekend.
Yes. Innocent until proven guilty.
Exactly right. Well, that's different to their, fault policy. Marvellous how the rules are bent. Well, reports say that Sharks are in the midst of a salary cap crisis and already over their cap for next season, despite the fact they've let Jaden Brayley go to the Knights and Kyle Flanagan to the Roosters. Sean Johnson, Andrew Fifita, Aaron Woods, Wade Graham, Josh Dugan and Matt Moylan. And you add in their $350,000 penalty, takes up more than half their $9.6 million cap. And they only got 24 other players to feed. the gummy sharks, no wonder.
Just seems to be their club that you lift the layers back and there's always another problem.
It certainly is. So let's see how the Sharks manage their salary cap.
Well, hopefully that upsets them this weekend when they play the Dragons.
I don't think so. Now, Mark Geyer released his plan for relocation and expansion during the week, and it involves rating the 9 Sydney clubs over the next 5 years based on 4 key indicators: sponsorship, average crowd figures, on-field success, and their dedication to junior and grassroots rugby league. He said, "I don't know how they would do it. There's brainier guys than me at the moment, people who get paid to do this, but after 5 years, the club with the lowest points, guess what? They move to the Central Coast," he said.
Well, sometimes you've got to break a branch off to save the tree.
Certainly has some merit. But let's see the sponsorship dollars, average crowd figures, on-field success, and their dedication to junior and grassroots rugby league.
Yeah, but you've got a big factor in there on your junior grassroots.
I wonder how the Roosters would fare.
They'll always do it tough.
Exactly right.
Compared to Parramatta and Penrith, who have a greater region.
That's exactly right. So, great idea, Mark. And let's see what happens. Good
for you. Oh, look, any ideas looking forward is going to be great.
Now, listeners and Mal, International Rugby League, that'll take centre stage after the NRL season, starting with a Trans-Tasman doubleheader. Australia and New Zealand, they'll meet in Wollongong on October 25th. Now, that's not far away.
No.
September, October. And that's women's and men's clashes. So the men's fixture marks the Kangaroos' initial match in the Oceania Cup, and the first time the rival teams have faced off at Wollongong. So the touring Great Britain side, they'll break an 11-year test absence against Tonga on the 26th in Hamilton, New Zealand, and a triple treat on the 2nd of November. Samoa take on Fiji, the Kangaroos play Tonga, and the Kiwis tackle Great Britain, all at Eden Park.
It'll be a packed house for that.
Well, it'll be a packed house this Saturday night when the Wallabies take on the All Blacks at Eden Park too. Yeah, the Wallabies.
Yes.
We've got to mention that.
Yes, we do.
Too. Let's hope there's play in day two tonight. But certainly good luck to the Wallabies on Saturday night. Now, there's another double header on the 9th of November. Papua New Guinea will take on Fiji, and the Kiwis and Great Britain play their second test. And to cap off the end of the year test schedule, Papua New Guinea will play the Lions before what's sure to be a passionate crowd in Port Moresby on the 16th of November, probably about 220% humidity and 43 degrees.
And that's if the players can get to the game.
That's exactly
right.
With
the crowd.
And all the English players will be wearing their double load of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Well and truly. Well and truly there. Well, notice also with great interest, Mal and listeners, that the TAFE Queensland and the Queensland Rugby League launched the Maroons Academy, a new and exciting partnership to deliver a bespoke training program to students looking to start their career in rugby league. Absolutely fantastic.
Give them a head start. It's great.
It's exactly right. Specialised training tailored towards a variety of careers in rugby league, a forefront of the initiative that provides participants with the opportunity to develop key skills for a career in the professional sports industry. Gee, and there's qualifications in Diploma of Sports, Sports Medicines Training Courses, Strength and Conditioning, Rugby League First Aid, Club Coaching Certificate, and Referees Foundation 1 Certificate. So students will be able to register their interest for the 2020 Semester 1. They can go online with that, with the QRL website, and that's an absolutely fantastic initiative and program. Some of the certificates and qualifications they can come away with is incredible. Now, it forms part of TAFE Queensland Sports Academy program, and it follows on from the highly successful pilot program with the Brisbane Roar FC. There you go. So, as we said, Diploma of Sports Development, Sports Medicine, Strength and Conditioning, First Aid, and, of course, one in.
Well, you've got to remember, a lot of these players, young boys coming into the game, these things weren't available years ago for life after sport.
No, they certainly weren't. And, you know, as we say, that's all part of the professional development and well-being and duty of care, I suppose, for the head body. And, yes, it's great to see those initiatives coming to the fore in the sport of rugby league. Well, we'll go to our next break, and we'll go to segment three after the break, and we'll be joined by Macca. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame. We'll talk about the stripping rule and the wrestling back in the news, and of course we'll preview all round 22 games here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM. And it's a warm welcome to our resident NRL expert, former first grade referee, Greg McCallum. Evening, Macca.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Mal's with us. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Now, Macca, the Hall of Fame last night. Now, the Hall of Fame was established in 2018 with 100 inductees. There's now 110, including the seven who were named last night, and that included Craig Young, Ruben Wickey, Stacey Jones, Danny Badiris, James Giltinan, Peter Frelingos, and Ray Warren have all joined that illustrious group, bringing the total now to 113.
Didn't they forget a few?
No, they were the seven from last night.
Okay. Macca. You sure it was J.J. Giltinan? And that's not what Peter Beattie said.
I think he said J.J. Gilsonton
or something like that.
He did.
Didn't quite get it right. So, I thought it's a great concept, and I thought last night was good. We could sit here at any time and argue the pros and cons of the people that are put in there, but let's just celebrate those that did get in. Ruben Wickey, Stacey Jones, I didn't referee. Ruben Wickey, I did. Craig Young, I refereed. He was a tremendous player, good leader, Craig Young, and great to see him get recognised. Danny Badiris, I didn't. So I refereed two of the four, and the other guys, well, you can't go past Ray Warren, fantastic contributor to broadcasting. Frank Hyde was probably the one that missed out, but we'll probably get in next time. Peter Frelingos, what a great writer he was. And of course, J.J. Giltinan, as he was really known as.
Yeah. The founder of rugby league, and of course...
He was.
Exactly, and it's a great acknowledgement. And the players, Craig Young, Ruben Wickey, Stacey Jones and Danny Badiris, James Giltinan, the founder, Peter Frelingos, Chippy,
the journalist, and of course Ray Rabbits Warren, the television commentator. And it was interesting to read Ray Warren saying that he lifted the lid on the blatant lie that saw him get his first opportunity when he called his first game of rugby league back in 1966 at Bar Bedman near West Wyalong. And he said he'd been in the police force. He got an invitation from 2LF Young to join the call. And the manager asked him, had he ever called football before? And, of course, Ray Warren said he had.
Yeah.
And he got his first start. Exactly right. So those are people, great acknowledgement. And I'm sure there will be a lot of people that will, you know, can debate maybe who else could go in there, Macca. But that's 113 in the Hall of Fame. And, of course, don't forget the Immortals category. That's reserved for those who have deemed to have had a significant impact of the game of rugby league as well.
Yeah, and the other good thing about it is that it's recognising people that aren't just players. I think the fact that they are recognising broadcasting, media, and, of course, the administrators, and next year they're looking at referees and coaches, which is quite interesting.
Well, you're dead right, because it's not all just about the game players.
No, it isn't, and I think it's wonderful that they're doing it. And now, if you look at the Hall of Fame, rugby league's been going, 106? Let me get my maths right.
Mm.
14. Yeah, 106 years. And how many are in there now?
113.
13. So for a long time, the Hall of Fame really didn't exist. And then the idea was to try and bring it up to that 100 with the centenary, and now they're building on it from there on. So I think over time it may drop back from four players each time they do it, maybe two players, and then the Immortals will grow exponentially, where you might go 4 years without having an Immortal named. So
I'll be very
it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
It will be, Macca, and I'll be very keen to see who becomes the first referee into the
Hall of Fame. Well, Cole Pearce, to me, is the doyen of all referees. I think Cole Pearce is a lay-down mazair. If you ask 7 out of 8 referees who it should be, Cole Pearce would be the answer. Yeah,
without a doubt.
Without a doubt. I always remember he put me through my referee's exam, and KB, kick on the breach. Always.
Same with me. But you haven't asked me who the other person would have voted for.
Who's
I said 7 out of 8 people would say Cole Pearce.
Right.
And the other person would be Bill Harrigan.
Right. Well, we'll be counting to 6 or 7.
I'm glad they didn't say Hollywood.
Macca.
I think it's gone over your head, that one.
No, it certainly hasn't. I'm leaving that alone. Now, on this Indian Independence Day, we've got the stripping rule and the wrestling both back in the news, Macca.
Yes. The stripping rule, I must have been asleep for most of the season, because it's just come upon me the last couple of weeks where they have a call and they drop off, and off goes the player downfield with the ball. I can't wait till a player breaks away and scores a try and then they let go of him. So that'll be interesting.
It will
be. But look, anything that provides a bit of uncertainty I think is good. So I'm probably in favour of it a little bit, even though it does look untidy. And would be a bugger of a thing for a referee to have to rule on. I think it'd be really difficult.
The
wrestling is back, because semi-finals are coming and Melbourne Storm are involved. And let's not kid ourselves, Melbourne Storm are the masters of wrestling.
They certainly are.
By a long way.
A long way.
And that was a nasty one last weekend, where the player went down, Solomona went down around his head. And put a lot of pressure on. You know, he should have been, he got penalised, but he should have been charged.
Exactly right.
Definitely.
Well, let's
you charge him in round 21, you don't get it again for the rest of the year.
That's right.
But it'll be back again this weekend, because he wasn't charged.
He wasn't charged.
Week.
Yep.
That's right. That's how it works.
So let's have a look at round 22 then, Macca. And, of course, it all starts tonight over there at Brookvale with the Sea Eagles up against the Tigers, and looking to see how Manly will bounce back after their surprise loss to the Warriors. And, of course, the injuries to the Tigers. I'm sure Dr. Dez will have the Sea Eagles fired up.
This will be one for the ages for the Tigers if they win this one. They've got everything against them. The only thing they've probably got in their favour is that it's played at night at Brookvale. If it was a Sunday afternoon, Manly would just roll on down the field and score 50 points. But I don't think that'll happen tonight. It'll be a bit closer than that. But I think the Tigers are probably on... the edge of a hiding from Manly.
Well, it certainly means that they've still got one last crack at the semis, and it's unfortunate that they've got to play the arch rivals, the Sea Eagles, over there at Brookvale. But I'll still go for the Tigers. So, Macca, you're going for Manly. Shane Moon's gone for Manly. And Mal, you'll be going for Manly.
Yeah, Manly, the Sea Eagles. They'll win it.
Yeah, I suppose I'll rule with my heart and not my head, Macca, as usual. As usual. Now, the Titans up against the Eels. Now, Parramatta can keep in touch with the top four. And they're sixth, 2 points from the fourth-place Rabbits. And as we said, the Gold Coast last weekend, their game of touch, they went down 40-28 to the Dragons. Titans and Eels, you think it's a foregone conclusion?
Well, if Parramatta want to finish in the top four, yes. But the Titans, I believe, I have heard a rumour that they have a pretty good record against the Eels.
They've won 11 of 19 matches.
Well, that's not a bad effort for a side that's the bottom of the competition. But, oh, look, Parramatta, they're capable of anything. You know, they're capable of finishing in the top four. They're capable of, you know, getting into the final series. But danger game for them, I think, because it's against sides like the Titans that they've struggled and not really shown their full potential. They play better against the better sides. But they'll win, I think.
You're going for the Eels, Mal?
Yep. Yeah, I'll take the Eels on this one.
Shane's gone for the Eels. Well, I'm going to go right out on the limb here, and I sense an upset in the making on their home turf, and with nothing to but pride and probably no more embarrassment, I'm going to tip the Titans.
Interesting.
It is a full moon.
It is a full moon. That's exactly why I'm taking the Titans, Macca. Now, tomorrow night, the second game, the Broncos up against the Panthers in Brisbane. Gee, there's a lot at stake for both of these teams.
Considering
where they are on the ladder. Macca?
Jimmy Maloney's back.
Big game. Well, I think the Panthers last week just defied everything. Great performance. All the young players did well. You can't expect them to play well week after week, and that's why a lot of them don't stay in the side. You know, they get opportunity. Maloney back. I just think Cleary goes better without Maloney in the side. I thought he had the best game of the season last week, Cleary. But the Broncos, I can't pick them again. I picked them a couple of weeks in a row, and they haven't impressed me much. So I'll go with the Panthers.
Well, I'm going with the Panthers as well in an upset, Mal.
Yeah, I'll be there, actually, at the game cheering the Panthers home.
And Shane Moon's gone for the Panthers. I just think that with the Panthers on 22 points and the Broncos on 21, Panthers win tomorrow night, Macca, they can all but get their spot in the semis.
Yeah, that shakes the side off, doesn't it? That 1 point that we mentioned a couple of times during the year could come back to bite the Broncos.
That's exactly right. Well, Saturday afternoon, well, gee, the team that's fallen right out of contention at the moment, the Knights up against the Cowboys. The Cowboys this afternoon, Jason Taumalolo out.
Yes, he's gone.
Out.
Well, even if it's not semi-finals that you're playing for, the pride and a little bit of support for your coach won't hurt. And I think Knights really need to stand up. I think some of those players will want to have a bit of a look in the mirror as they leave the dressing room. So the Knights for me.
Yes, I've gone the Knights, Mal.
Yeah.
And Shane.
Knights all the way.
All the way. And I agree with you there, Macca. They just need to have a couple of mirrors in that room because I think some of the players, perhaps reading some of their publicity during those six or seven games they won, and they haven't given, I believe, not only their coach, but I believe their fans.
Well, the fans too. You're right. The fans have been wonderful. Best fans in the competition.
That's exactly right, and I believe that they deserve better than what those Knights players have been showing recently. And here's a chance for them to stand up and be counted.
Yep.
Now the Storm up against the Raiders, and you've got Cameron Smith up against Josh Hodgson, the two best hookers in the NRL. What a great match.
The two best on-field manipulators of the game. Josh Hodgson, the artful dodger. He's the one that's been pickpocketing. The Canberra Raiders have the most steals in the competition, and Josh Hodgson is the number two position ahead of any other team as the most stealing person. So you've got this wonderful system going on there, but you wouldn't want to be taking your mind off the job against the Storm because they're just the masters. I'd have to go for them. As much as I'd love to see the Raiders win, I'd have to go for Storm at home.
I'm going for the Storm. Mal?
No. I think the Raiders are going to get them in the Storm.
You're going to go the Raiders, and Shane Moon's gone for the Storm. It's interesting to note, Macca and listeners, Cameron Munster's up against Jack Whiten, and Jack Whiten's playing his 150th NRL game, all for the Raiders.
Mm. Yeah, he's done well. And I read somewhere where BJ Leilua is hitting for 200 games.
Yes, yep. And he'll be back. Mm-hmm. Joey Leilua's back.
200th game. That's fascinating. I would never have picked that.
So there's five penalties for the Storm straight away.
Exactly. So he'll make up for all the time he's been out.
Cameron will decide that, won't he?
So, yes, that should be...
You'll just keep reminding the referee of that.
That's right, yeah.
Yes, as he runs past constantly. Now, the Bulldogs up against the Rabbits, and you would have thought a few weeks ago it would have been a formality for the Rabbits, but by gee, the Dogs, they're in good form.
What, 4 out of 6?
4 out of 6.
Yeah, really well. If Rabbits want to play finals and finish in the top four, they're the most under threat in that four. Top four, the Rabbits. If Manly win, then the pressure's right on them. So you have to say, if they're going to play finals footy and want a chance of winning the comp, the Rabbits would need to win.
Yes, you'll pick the Rabbits. I'll go the Rabbits. Mel?
Yeah, I'll go the Rabbits all the way.
So Shane. Of course, Dallin Watine Zalesniak, he's been a huge buy for the Bulldogs, hasn't he?
Yes. Ever since he's arrived there, he's just added a bit of spark and a bit of composure, a bit of experience. The fatherly love. I think he's done well.
And Sunday afternoon, well, the Roosters, they'll take on the Warriors. And, of course, the Warriors, well, they've still got a mathematical chance. And when we ever say mathematical, it means no chance to make the semis. But you've got Tedesco up against Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, two of the best fullbacks in the game.
And he's played really well again this year, Tuivasa-Sheck. It's been a wonderful couple of years from him. The Roosters look like they're hitting form. Hard to see the Warriors winning two in a row. I would never have thought they would have won last week. But wet track, weather overcast, track heavy. They got the money against Manly. But I think the Roosters will be just too strong.
I think so too, and so does Mal, and I think so does Shane, and truly. And to round out round 22, the Sharks up against the Dragons. Macca.
Oh, how do you pick this one?
Local derby.
The Sharks, last week, how disappointing. The Dragons won a game, but it wasn't that impressive. So probably home the Sharks.
And I'll go for the Sharks. Mal, you're going for the Dragons.
I'll stick for the Red and Whites.
And Shane Noon has gone for the Sharks. And it's interesting to note that in that match, Sean Johnson and Chad Townsend will be up against Ben Hunt and Gareth Widdop. But article today, Macca and listeners... Sean Johnson's blaming the fact that they haven't got a kicking coach at the club, and that's why he's, I suppose, percentage rate has dropped this year.
Oh, going down to the local park with a bag full of footballs.
Exactly. I just thought, yes, exactly right. So, interesting comment made by Sean Johnson. Can you believe that?
For a small fee.
Do his own laces up, or does someone go and do his laces up?
For him. Anyway, Darryl Halligan has been demanded. And let's see if the Sharks bring him back on board to help them next year. Well, Macca, it's been great to chat with you, reminisce over the Hall of Fame. Good luck with your selections on the weekend. And listeners, we'll look forward to your company with Macca on Monday, a Monday Sports Roundup, and the Grapple back again next Thursday night here at 6 o'clock on 101.5 FM Sports. Yeah,
still got about 15 seconds left.
Gee whiz. One, two, three, four, five.
That's a full moon tonight.
It's a full moon. It's exactly right.
Everyone take care out there, wherever you are.
Well, don't forget, coming up at 7 o'clock, we'll be talking to Steve Buchanan with Motor Talk here on 101.5 FM Sports.